So it may have happened at some point in your life. Maybe you get a phone call and you have to leave everything immediately. There isn't time to plan. What you just heard demands an immediate action from you. It may have been some upsetting news, maybe an accident, a death, something that caused you to have to just leave immediately. It might have been something that brings you great joy and exciting news, a birth of a child, a grandchild, someone that you care about, something that's going on, and they're in town and they want you to come and see them and you haven't seen them in a long time, and you just drop everything and you immediately go and you get a chance to be with them. So what causes you to act immediately? My nature is not to act immediately. My nature is that of, I guess the word I would use, I don't know if it's a good English word or not, is a putzer. I putz around. I can do nothing and do it all day long and be worn out at the end of the day. I know things need to get done, and so I can rationalize in my head that I work well under pressure. That's the easy way of saying I was really lazy early on and now I have to finish the work really quickly before it's due. So this idea of immediacy, doing something immediately, I'll just change it all together, is to some degree foreign to my nature, okay? Not that I never do anything immediately, but I tend to not, and that just is not who I am. When I think about things, I want to plan them forever in advance. I am slow to get certain things done. So if I do something immediately, it is because the circumstances have called for or made that action so necessary that I have to respond so quickly that sometimes it makes people's heads spin, including my own. And it is difficult to have a balance in my life between the important and the immediate. I don't always do well at finding that balance. If you have a Bible with you, I would encourage you to open to Mark chapter 16. We're only going to be in one paragraph today. And we're going to just walk through this paragraph and spend just a little bit of time in each section. So when Carrie and I were in Pittsburgh a couple of weeks ago, and we got a chance to attend back where I was preaching there at the Whitehall Congregation, and they were doing this homecoming meeting, and so we were able to be with them for a day. And one of the speakers, and I had it highlighted in my Bible, but one of the speakers brought out the word immediately and how often Mark uses that term. The word that is translated here, immediate or immediately, is used primarily in the Gospels. And Mark uses it more than anybody else. It's an action-packed gospel. And he keeps the narrative moving from one time to the next. But he uses this word because he's sometimes using it in the course of time itself, but generally he seems to be using it in the sense of urgency, that there is something so urgent it needed a quick response for, or immediately Jesus would go and do something because the situation demanded it. But I want to come to this passage that begins in verse 16 and walk through it with you. Beginning with verse 16, passing along the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me. I want you to understand, this is not the first meeting of Jesus and Simon and Andrew and James and John. They had met, according to the Gospel of John, down in Judea as John the Baptist's ministry was beginning to come to an end. In fact, they were disciples of John the Baptist. And they heard John make the statement when he saw Jesus, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In fact, Andrew went to get Simon and bring him to Jesus. And Jesus would give him the name Peter that we would normally call him. But my point is, they had heard about and had met Jesus prior, but they were disciples of John, who we call John the Baptist. Luke fleshes out this particular story a little bit more. Jesus preaching on the side, on the shoreline, needing Peter's boat, using that, going out, casting out a net and getting a huge load of fish. Mark just narrows everything down to the important. And Mark says that as Jesus was going along and he saw them fishing, Luke says he was out there with them fishing, he says to them, follow me. Point number one, they were called people. Follow me. Follow me is a life-changing phrase. They had been with John the Baptist. They had been with the spiritual retreats. They had been at the time, you know, where you sing Kumbaya, but they had a life, okay? And their life was that of fishermen. And so they had spent that time with John down in Judea, and I'm sure it was a spiritual high, but life goes on, and they come back to Galilee, they come back to the family business, and they're out there fishing. And Jesus says to them, follow me. Jesus did not say, let me tell you a new way of understanding Scripture and help it make sense to you. He did not say, have you ever done a word study on the Hebrew word Messiah and the Greek word that is translated Christ and how that fits concerning me? He didn't do that. Jesus says, follow me. He didn't give a Bible lesson. He called them to relationship. He called them to change who they had been a disciple of. And I really believe I have taken that too lightly over the years. These are good men. I mean, they're people who love God. They, I'm sure, see their own imperfection. I know Peter has. But they're not listed, if you will, with the sinners. These are people who had given up part of their fishing time to be with John the disciple, John the Baptist, as a disciple. They had followed him. They had listened to him. And Jesus is now saying to them, I want you to change your devotion. Follow me. And that really as I was working through this, hit me. Several of you know that I had to go to Pittsburgh yesterday to do a funeral for a friend of mine that passed away. And so I got up really, stinking early in the morning. I got up at like 3:30 in the morning to get on the road, to be there by 9 o'clock for a funeral at 10. And then the interment was almost an hour north of there, and then driving back home yesterday. And I really, most of you also know, I don't mind driving. That's not an issue for me. I spent time thinking through this lesson. I actually came home and rewrote this lesson, to be honest with you. And I'm thinking about this passage. And I'm driving down to and from Pittsburgh, asking myself, what does it mean when Jesus calls me to follow him? And you can say, well, that was a very specific calling to those specific disciples. A little later on, Matthew would record for us, Jesus makes a statement, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, even if you make this one solely about them, that one at least can be about me. But you know, the passage doesn't actually end there. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Follow me is giving myself over to the Master Jesus as a disciple of Christ that walks with him and changes allegiance from everything that I have held dear in my past to him. That doesn't mean that I had a terrible past. It doesn't mean that I had terrible parents. It doesn't mean that I grew up with terrible theology. It doesn't mean any of those things. What it means is I am now called to follow him. It does mean, at least for me, that when I read God's word and it challenges any concept that I have had before, that God's word will take precedence over my concept. Following him is listening to what he has to say. Jesus would say near the very end of his ministry, the night in which he is betrayed, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. One of the problems Jesus has with the Pharisees is that they search Scripture thinking that the words would give them eternal life, when the truth is the Word gives them eternal life. And they didn't get that. They want a rule book when Jesus was calling them into a relationship. They wanted to sit down and say, let's argue about, and then come through Scripture. And Jesus is simply going to say, follow me. That's a trust factor. I would tell you, many people don't take deeply enough. And I know that that is a judgment call on my behalf. I know that. But following Jesus is more than just coming to worship and going to life group, doing some nice things. All of those are great. Studying your Bible is wonderful. But allowing God's word to be living and active and powerful than any two-edged sword inside of you, that's following Jesus. And there's a difference. I don't read my Bible simply to learn. I read my Bible to understand. I read it to say, what, God, is it that you are asking of me in this moment in my life? And when that is revealed to me through Scripture, then I am called. But just keep reading that same verse, verse 17. Jesus says, follow me. And then he uses the phrase, and I will make you fishers. I will make you to become fishers of men. Obviously, it's a play on words. They are fishermen, fishers of men. And so when I got home, I decided last night I better check all of my facts. So I got out my Bible study stuff, and sure enough, this word become was there. You see, as I thought about this calling, then I realized there is a commission that goes along with calling. I'm called to follow, but following commissions me to do something, to become fishers of men. To become that which I am not already. I'm telling you, Andrew and Simon, James and John, the four that are in this passage, these are devout Jewish people. But they had not yet become what God had in store for them. He commissions them, and he doesn't even tell them what the blueprint is to get it done. He says, this is what you're going to do. You are going to become fishers of men. You are going to set aside that which you know to become that which you do not fully understand. How many of you are up to that? Not me, generally speaking. Explain it to me. And use little words that I can understand. I YouTube almost everything I do before I do it. The reason why? I need to see it done. I can't just go and do. I've got to study and learn. Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. It is a change in how they saw themselves. If you would have said to Andrew, to Simon, who are you? Not your name. Who are you? I'm going to guess. They would say, I'm a fisherman up in Galilee. If you would ask me, if most anybody would ask me on most any given day other than today and say, who are you? I would define myself as the preacher for the Glen Rock Church of Christ. Jesus says to these people, here's who you are. You're a fisher of men. That's your definition. That's how you view yourself. That's the lens in which you now see life. So every person you look at, every time you look in the mirror, every time you think about a spiritual issue, every time kingdom is talked, I want you to see it through the lens of who you are. You are following me, and I'm commissioning you to become a fisher of men. In 2023, we're going to spend a lot of time about these two things. And I want to conclude with where I started, and that's the word immediately. Let's just keep going here, verse 18. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Do you get the urgency here? Do you get the fact that they answered the calling? They accepted the commission. They came. And they did it immediately. They left everything. They left that which they understood. By definition, they became homeless that day. I don't know that I have the faith that would have responded that way. I guess that's probably why I wasn't one of the 12 apostles. They immediately walked away. James and John leave their dad with the family business. Could you imagine him going home that day? He walks into the house, and Zebedee says to his wife Salome, would you believe what our two boys did today? We're out there fishing. We're out there making money for this family. We have got a business. We've got servants that we have to pay. This is the family business. Do you want to know what those two boys did? They ran off with their buddies to follow some uneducated, itinerant rabbi. Now, I don't know that it happened anything like that. But if I was Zebedee, and my two boys, Caleb and Joshua, said, hey, Dad, here's all the work. Take care of it. I'm out of here. I'm going to go on this mission trip. See you when I see you. I'd say, wait a second. First of all, we got to clean up this mess. And then you got to get everything in order. And then if your mother says it's okay, then you can go. Immediately, they left everything and followed him. It was so urgent, and they made a commitment so deep, I'm not sure any of us will understand. So let's wrap this up. Jesus calls us to follow him. Jesus commissions us to become fishers of men. But the question remains, will we come? Will we immediately leave that which is so important to us, our nets, to follow him? Too many people put off what needs to be done spiritually because they rationalize they need to go home and think more about it. The truth of the matter is, read the book of Acts and tell me how much do people have to sit back and say, let me think, before they responded to the gospel call, those that did respond. They responded immediately. It's not that they didn't know. It's that they trusted the message. that which they have already heard. The reason people put off making a decision to follow Jesus is because Satan has somehow put into their head, you need more time to think. You need to get your ducks in a row. You're probably not good enough to see this all the way through. He'll plant anything to keep you from immediately leaving everything and following him. We hear a calling. Ananias says to Saul in Damascus, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. King Agrippa listens to Paul preach. And King Agrippa says to Paul, would you so quickly, in such a short time, persuade me to become a Christian? A jailer hears two people, Paul and Silas, praying and singing in prison. An earthquake comes. Doors are open. He assumes everybody leaves. But nobody does. The jailer comes in before Paul and Silas and asks, what do I need to do to be saved? Believe in Jesus Christ. Which he does. And immediately he and his household were baptized. There is an immediacy and there is a hesitation. The question is, where are you? And if you're hesitating, the question is, why? Who's put the hesitation inside of you? God or evil? Come, follow me. That's what Jesus says. Will you and I drop everything? Understand what it means to make him our master and follow him. And if we can help you to do that, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?